Hello, and thank you for listening to this message from the heart of Pastor Eddie Paul Morris. To see what's happening at Deer Valley Worship Center, check out our website, dvwc.church.
Joke today. How many will give me the grace to try a joke today? So, that means you have to laugh even if you don't think it's fun. No, I'm just teasing. Okay, French church. This notice can now be found in all French churches. Translation, it is possible that on entering this church, you may hear the call of God. On the other hand, it is not likely that he will contact you by phone. Thank you for turning off your phone. If you would like to talk to God, come in, choose a quiet place, and talk to him. If you would like to see him, send him a text while driving or crossing the street. It's kind of like an announcement to turn your phone off. But anyway, thought I'd try that. Matthew 26, let me pray. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for hearts that love you, that serve you. God, I thank you. God, I just think of all the baggage that has just been left behind, cleaned out. God, I thank you for all the closets that have been cleaned out in this house. I thank you for all the closets that have been cleaned out because of the grace of God. I thank you for all the fears that had just been dissolved by the love of God. I thank you for the soundness of mind that is in this place, God. We thank you for those things, Lord. And I thank you that it's all because of Jesus. And God, during this season, God, even as Christmas time, Easter, God, we know that there's a secular view of things, God. There's Easter bunnies, there's Santa Clauses, there's all these things that can sometimes just be okay and people have different opinions, but God, we know that Jesus is alive. We thank you, Father, that you sent your son. God, we focus and honor on the reality of the true and living Jesus. Father, we thank you that you made a way for us to spend eternity with you, but we also thank you for the opportunity to see heaven come to earth while we're here living this thing out, God. And I thank you that eventually you'll set up your kingdom. You're going to set up your kingdom. Jesus, you're going to place your foot right on the Mount of Olives. You're going to go right down there. And of the lineage of King David, you're going to plant yourself and you're going to rule with an iron scepter. God, this earth is not going to ever look the same when you return. God, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth someday. And I thank you for it right now that we get to be a part of it, that our hope is full, that our hope is complete, that God, we are not living and seeking you in vain, but we're living and seeking you in a fullness that manifests change and affects all of eternity. God, I thank you, God, that you dissolve the stuff in our lives that is going to just pass away. But God, help us to be 100% on the rock of Christ Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said, amen and amen. Matthew 26, say a big amen once you're there. Matthew 26. I've got five of you there, so we'll go ahead and go here. Verse 36, then Jesus came with them to the place called Gethsemane. And said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. How many know that the closer you get to Jesus, your will lines up with his will? You can praise, you can worship, you can jump up and down, you can do the Jericho march around the church, you can give people high fives, you can say you love Jesus all you want to, but it's not really loving Jesus until your will lines up with his will. How many know that Jesus makes us more of who we are and exactly who we are? He's not trying to change your identity, he's trying to call out who he created you to be. Lining our will up with God's will is a powerful manifestation of true identity as a son or daughter of the Most High God. It is a powerful, powerful thing. And in fact, even when people say, oh, less of me, Lord, and more of you. How many realize that when John the Baptist was talking about less of me and him, you know, receding and God coming forward, how many realize that he was talking about the call of God where he was stepping off of the scene and Jesus was stepping into the scene? But so many times we take this mindset that says, well, less of me is as if God. No, the only thing that needs to be less of is less of the flesh, less of wrong thinking. But as our minds are transformed, we come into who God has called us to be. We're not dirty worms. We're not scumbags. You know, I don't even like the thing, Amazing Grace that saved a wretch. Well, wretch before Jesus, but you know what? In Jesus, you're no longer a wretch. Do we have the propensity to sin? Yes, we still have the ability to sin, but God has placed his spirit on the inside of us. We have a good heart because it's Christ's heart on the inside of us. Don't follow your old heart, your old way of thinking, but set your heart and your mind on the fact that you are a child of God. No one lives out the fullness of the Christ life by thinking that they're a dirty scumbag. That's religion. That's trying to cage in the lion of the old man. But when you get set free on who you are on the inside, that changes everything. You're free. You're free from the past. You're free from your past mistakes. You're free from the mistake you made yesterday. You may need to be held accountable for it and fix some things, but your identity is son or daughter. That is freeing. That's what Jesus paid the price for. That's what he went to the cross to wash the sin and to go into the grave and come out of that grave so that new life would happen in our lives. Amen. I'm just having fun there. Amen. The good thing about that is sometimes when you do that, you can't remember where you last read. Verse 39, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Verse 40, then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, what? How many know following Jesus, you knew that he loved you, but how many know that he spoke the truth? Amen. How many know he just told it like it was? This old God, Jesus is not your homeboy. How many know he is that brother? He's that one that sticks close to us. But how many know that there's times where he might accidentally, on purpose, that's me being kidding around, just say, "Oh, you of little faith." How many know Jesus also challenges us to greater works, to greater living? Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Now, I read this scripture, and I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to speak deep into our hearts the reality that, I mean, we see here. How many know that when we're in trial and when we're in struggle, how many like to have people around you that support you? Amen. The rest of you, you're not telling the truth or you're weird. But anyway, Jesus was wanting the strength of the three in his inner circle to support him in his deepest place of struggle. Why am I bringing that up? Because I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to speak deep into our hearts about the closeness of what Jesus paid for. We all say, you know what? How many know religion says, "Hey, I'm going to come and do a bunch of rules. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that." Why do we say have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Because it is a personal relationship with him. And so many people miss that. But how many of us, and I can put myself in that same place, how many have come to Christ in a personal relationship? The Father drew us. We repented. Our sins were washed. We had that fresh walk with Jesus, but somehow we got off course and we left our first love. And we need to think here about this season of what we call Easter, or I like to call it Resurrection Sunday. thinking about the reality that Jesus went to the place of absolute separation from the Father and was rejected of the Father so that we would never have to be rejected of the Father again. When we come into the body of Christ and sons and daughters, we are accepted into the Beloved. No matter what our sins are, we are accepted, and yet God will continue to transform us. And now maybe it's not really hitting us to that deepest place that I feel like God wants to take it, but this, just think here for a second. The Father and Jesus, I don't know how it happened. I don't know how Jesus came to the knowledge and the understanding that he was the Son of God. There's mystery in that. There's a lot of time in his young life that we don't know about. But there was a closeness that the Father and the Son had that was perfect unity. He talked about, me and the Father are one. He lived out of that oneness. He lived out of that identity. He performed miracles as a human being, anointed by the Holy Spirit in relationship with the Father. He did not perform his miracles as the Son of God. He was the Son of God, but the miracles happened because he was independent. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? He was living out of that relationship. When he picked the disciples, and that he would go up on the mountain and pray all night because he was dependent upon the Father to speak to him. He lived his life in closeness. When he was baptized and came out of the water, the Father is, this is my Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. There was an affirmation upon the Son of God. There was a closeness. That's how he had power. That's how he lived a sinless life. He was close to the Father. Those who live close to Jesus are the ones who overcome. Those who live close to the Father are the ones who do the will of God. Those who get unhooked from the sin but get transformed and live as sons and daughters, those are the ones that live close to the Father and live the will of God. We've got to unhitch from earthly thinking, and we've got to live in the mind of Christ out of the relationship of God. There's relationship with God. That means, you know what? You're going to have to get close to God. Why do we worship? Not because we want to feel goosebumps. Goosebumps are awesome. Feeling the power of God is awesome, and that's a part of being close. But we've got to know the promptings of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and we've got to know the Word of God and live as sons and daughters. There are people that know the Word of God inside and out, and they're so far from God, it's not even funny. You say, how is that? I got news for you. I've met them. I've talked to them. There's theologians that count. They just rip all through it, but their brains are stuck in a place, but out of the spirit, out of the innermost being, out of our spirits, that's where our relationship with God flows. It's how we hear God. It's how we're prompted. Have you ever had an experience where God visited you, even though he's in us, and the Holy Spirit visited you for a season with such a tender, special grace that when you walked and just lived your life, you were just overwhelmed with his goodness, his presence? You know, we walk by faith. God doesn't always do that for us. He strengthens us. You gotta live on raw faith a lot of times. But there's seasons where the Holy Spirit will just show up. And man, sometimes I'm like, God, it's been a while. Lord, I need your presence. It should cause us to go back and yearn and ask God for that touch and that presence. And at the right time, he'll release that special thing. But have you ever had that overwhelming, so that it was so overwhelming? I know Cammie has that testimony where it's almost like it's too much. I've heard it over and over again, and people are like, God stops. And as soon as God stops his presence, people freak out. How many are hearing me today? How many of us are just living a lukewarm life and we just get off course? How many, you've lived for Jesus for so long, you know how to do this, you know how to do that. Pastors can do it. I know how to preach, I know how to hold a microphone, I know how to greet people, I know how to do this, I know how to do that. And what happens is you start to have a form of godliness, but you start to deny the power thereof. Jesus paid the price so that we could be close to him. We've got to remind ourselves of the value of what Jesus did on that cross. He didn't do that just so that we could be cleansed of our sin and go to heaven. He did that so that we could enter through the veil into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God Almighty, and live there and him live in the inside of us. Powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. Turn into Matthew 27. Couple pages in my Bible. Matthew, I'm going to read from verse 45. Now, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? We know what it's like to have a special touch of God and then have that touch not be there. Have you found that even when God visits you with those special graces of the Holy Spirit, that the communion is so amazing, that fellowship with the Holy Spirit is so amazing, that you can literally, out of your love and hunger for God, be like, God, stay here. You can feel his presence lift, and you're like, no, God, can we, how many realize this is relationship? God, this, no, God, can you stay here a little bit longer? God, can we hang out a little bit longer in childlike faith? God, can we connect here just a little bit longer? Have you ever had God speak to you, and then you realize, you know what, now would be a really good time to start even asking some more things, because he just answered me, and I heard it as clear as a bell. How many know when the getting is good, you need to keep on asking for some more? When it's raining, how many know you need to keep on asking for some more rain? I mean, when you get into those places, there's special times and seasons with God and in communion with him where when those times happen, you know, we go to the doctor's office and we'll wait for, you know, however long to get our appointment. We'll go everywhere and wait for somewhere. But when it comes to waiting on God, we're in here going, oh, I got 50 minutes and I'm going home. I got pizza. I got pot roast going. I got to get out of here. Hungry people change their life, and it shows forth the priority of the presence of God. A church that seeks God will show forth a different priority to the people around them. I'm not talking about being gruff. I'm talking about being loving, but there's something that says, get out of my way. The importance of God in my life will be shown forth in the way I act, and it will be proved forth in the way I live my life. Something different happens. And when we get away from that in Christianity, danger is just around the corner. Just around the corner. That doesn't mean that we don't have other things in life that we need, like relationships and stuff that feed us emotionally and that kind of stuff. But we better be sure that what we're allowing to feed us is of God and is righteous. Sometimes we get off course because of the music we listen to. I'm not saying, oh, I got, you know, I thought when I was a kid that if I became a Christian, that meant I could only listen to Petra. Now, how many know that's like a death sentence? Some of you like Petra, but anyway, some of the younger people are going, who is Petra? Back in the 80s, they were it. I mean, my mom was like working on getting me to Petra concerts. How many of there's some stuff that you can listen to? There's some things I can watch that other people can't watch. I can watch Braveheart, some righteous killing. Some of you are going to freak out on me, but I can watch Braveheart. How many like Braveheart in here? Okay, don't act all. I can handle some righteous killing. I mean, read the Old Testament for about 5 minutes and imagine what the battlefield looked like. It would probably freak all of us out to see how war was back then. War's bad, period. But there's other stuff I can't get away from me. I don't need it. What are we allowing into our spirits? What are we allowing into our heart that doesn't need to be there? What are we playing footsie with in the world that you need to just stop it? How many know when you give 1 inch to the devil, he's looking to take 45 miles? What are we, you know, are we allowing disappointment to take us out of our relationship with God? Sometimes we just got to sit. So this is back to the Bible. This is back to Jesus. This is get cleaned up. This is, you know what? Don't let anything get in between you and Jesus. Don't let anything get between you and the presence of God. Don't let anything change that. If you got to take your phone and send it on a permanent vacation, take your phone and send it on a permanent vacation. If you need to get yourself a flip phone because that phone is pulling you away from Jesus, you need to go get yourself a flip phone. And when people make fun of you, you can tell them, you know what? I love Jesus, and this flip phone is a part of my plan to stay close to the heart of God. Some of you just like flip phones because you don't like all the technology, and so I feel sorry for you. But anyway, bless the Lord. How many know we live in a world? I mean, you go back years and years, and there was this reality wasn't. How many know there are so many ways to get distracted so that you're focusing on something that's not God? I mean, you can look at social media and flip through Facebook, and within 5 minutes, you literally are depressed or discouraged, or you're comparing yourself to somebody else, and somebody else's dress, and somebody else's this, and someone has a better job, someone has a better car, someone has a whatever, and by the time you're done, you just discourage yourself so much, you change the temperature of your spirit. You say, well, that doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. We're not in competition. What we allow in our spirit affects our relationship with God because our spirit is changed. It's tampered with. And then you got to go through God's car wash to get back to a place where you can walk in peace with Him again. Is this helping anybody today? Getting close with God. See, he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. We got to live with a clean conscience. That means that when we do miss it, man, we just let the sin be washed away by the blood, but we've got to be quick to repent. We've got to remember that scripture that says, let the meditation of my heart and let the words of my mouth be pleasing to your sight, in your sight, God. We got to remember, you know what? If my ways are pleasing to the Lord, he'll even make my enemies be at peace with me. We've got to live different. We can't live in the form and the function. You can't live at the temperature of everybody else around you. If you're the most on fire person in your family, you need to be the most loving person in your family. If you're looking down your nose at others who aren't as spiritual as you, you need to get saved in that area of your life. Just because you have the gifts of the Spirit operating doesn't mean you're walking in love. You need to let that gift of the Spirit, let it sit right there while you get some more love in your life and then operate in the gift of the Spirit. But we can't let the temperature of other people determine our temperature. And I'm talking about love. I'm not talking about being super spiritual evangelist Steve Stunning or whatever. I'm talking about the love walk that we have day to day. I've talked to many wives. When I say many, I shouldn't say many. I should say handful of wives who say, well, I just can't serve God because my husband's not serving God. Because what happens is a lot of times that's a situation where the finances are, they become fearful because of the finances. Because in those scenarios, maybe the husband is the full breadwinner. How many know what I'm talking about? There's got to be something that makes us different. There's got to be something out of relationship with God that says, I'll be like Daniel in the midst of a Babylonian system, in the midst of a world that's going to hell in a handbasket. I've got to learn how to speak to the language of what the world is doing and living only so that I can speak truth and love and relate. But I've got to watch what's going on in my life and my relationship with Him, and I've got to bring the influence to everything else around me. I cannot offer up and give up this relationship with God so that I can be okay with somebody else. The fear of man is a snare. Is anybody chewing on this? The fear of man is a snare. Getting confident, getting bold, living in a way that righteously shows I'm living for God, not trying to proclaim it and you know, run around saying how righteous you are, but let your light shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Is this not a challenge? Is this not a challenge in a world that wants to demonize Christians? Yes, demonize Christians. In a world that wants to take the righteousness of God and tell you how evil you are because you believe the truth of the Word of God. We don't live in the same USA that we used to live in 20 years ago. There's some good things that have happened where some wrong hatred and prejudice has been stopped, but there's also a turning where it's telling the church and people that believe in righteousness to shut up or we're going to take you out. Good stuff. See, we need closeness with the Father. If we're just going through the motions, coming to church, going home, doing, if we don't have closeness with the Father, then we're not going to be living the Christian life. Jesus had closeness with the Father, which gave him the power and understanding to know who to pick as disciples. It gave him the strength for life. It gave him strength for the ministry he was called to do. He said his food was to do the will of him who sent him, to finish his work. How many times did Jesus disappear and go to a place and pray all by himself all night? When's the last time any of us prayed anywhere all night? Some people pray good in the morning, some people pray at night. But where have we missed this? Is it, oh, that's just for the pastors. That's just, how many know that God wants businessmen that are sons to pray? How many of those are seasons where you need to enter into a solitude? I'm not talking about an isolation, but a solitude with God. A solitude with him. See, the reality is we not only need closeness with the Father, but we need closeness with each other. How many have been hurt by someone else in the church? Raise your hand. The rest of you lying. But anyway, praise the Lord. Not teasing. Everybody's been hurt. I've heard people say, oh, the people in the world treat me better than the church does. No, you just have higher expectations of the people in the church. And sometimes when you're in the world, you keep on going the way you are, but I got news for you. People that don't know Jesus, they may treat you good for a while, and there may be some very, very good people out there, but don't tell me that people don't get ripped to shreds in the world. That's a lie. And obviously it's bad if someone truly is treating someone bad. But we need each other. We need that acceptance. We need that connection with God. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How many in here, you just want a closer relationship with God? How many in here, you'd say, you know what? There's some relationships in my life that are holding me back from serving God to the fullest place. Sometimes you just have to say, I love you, but I can't stay in this place. How many know that bad company corrupts good moral character? God wants to sanctify and continually sanctify, set apart, have us living at that level that he wants us to live at. If I could go ahead and have Daniel come up on the keyboard, and how many of you will say, Pastor didn't preach for an hour today? We got done a little bit earlier, no announcements. But how many would just like to come around this altar with Daniel leading worship, and you would just like to rededicate yourself to your first love? I don't have anything else to say other than, do you want your first love? As this journey for me and our family comes to an end here at Deer Valley Worship Center, and I can remember the times when I was on staff and not the senior pastor, and being the last person to leave the altar because I just kept on pursuing and kept on pursuing and kept on pursuing. We give ourselves too many excuses to not seek God. Oh, I tried to pray. There's times where you have to learn how to pray through to the presence of God. Sometimes you got to start with your list, and that's prayer. Sometimes you just get that list and keep those things coming before God, and you're presenting before God, and you're praying, but there's an energy by the Holy Spirit. When I say energy, I'm talking power of the Holy Spirit that begins to draw us. See, as Pastor Eddie Paul won't be here anymore, I'm just like you. God just happened to give me a responsibility to minister, but the responsibility each of us has is to seek the Father, to know the Father, to take His leading, and to be a light everywhere we go, to be a light in our family, to be a light in our marriage, to be a light in our workplace. And anytime you in your seats, if you want to come up and just say, you know what, I want my first love. Maybe you're living in your first love, but you want to take your first love to a higher level. Then come out of your seats and just step into that place. If you got bitterness in your heart, confusion, take it to God and say, here you go. Here's this bitterness. God, help me with it. I turn from my bitterness. If you've got things weighing your heart down, take them to God. Cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. In your determination, say, I'm changing. I'm living different. I'm keeping God first in my life. My faith doesn't rest on Pastor Eddie Paul. My faith doesn't rest on so-and-so. My faith doesn't rest on my spouse. Yes, we encourage one another, but my faith is between me and God. And just like Jesus hung on that cross by Himself and even said, why have you forsaken me, Father? He was rejected so that we could always be accepted. That God is only right there. He is as close as the very breath that we breathe. God is always there to help and to strengthen. So Daniel, go ahead.